let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
One of the most famous and beloved monuments in the United States of America is the Lincoln Memorial, located in the capital city of Washington, D.C. It is dedicated to the 16th American president, Abraham Lincoln. Millions of visitors from around the world come each year to visit the Lincoln Memorial. But about 35 years ago, the U.S. government noticed that the Lincoln Memorial was slowly crumbling and deteriorating. So they set out to discover why this was happening. And when they investigated, they found that the monument was crumbling because it was being cleaned too often. Every day, a cleaning crew was given the great marble statue of Abraham Lincoln and the adjacent walls and floors a daily scrubbing with soap and water. But the constant daily cleaning was damaging the structure. And so it seemed they had found the answer to the problem. But one manager decided to dig deeper. So he asked the question, why are we cleaning the Lincoln Memorial every day? And when they investigated, they discovered that a decision had been taken a while back to clean the memorial every day because of the huge mess left each day by the hundreds of birds that lived at the monument. The birds were causing the need for a daily cleaning, which was destroying the memorial. And so it seemed they had found the answer to the problem. But then the manager decided to dig deeper. So he asked the question, well, why are there so many hundreds of birds living at the Lincoln Memorial? And when they investigated, they discovered that all the birds lived there because they were drawn by all the spiders that lived there. The birds ate the spiders, and so they were attracted because of all the spiders. The spiders brought the birds, which brought the cleaning crew, which was destroying the memorial. And so it seemed they had found the answer to the problem. It was the spiders. But the manager decided to dig even deeper. But why are so many spiders living in the Lincoln Memorial, he asked. And when they dug deeper, they discovered that thousands of spiders were there because of midges. Midges are small winged insects that breed in the muddy flats of the nearby Potomac River. Midges swarm into the air at dusk to mate. And when they do, they were drawn by the huge lights illuminating the memorial. The midges would smash into the walls of the Lincoln Monument, and their protein remains drew the spiders, which drew the birds, which caused the mess, which caused the Park Service crews to clean every day, which caused damage to the Lincoln Memorial. So midges brought spiders, spiders brought birds brought the cleaning crew every day, and the cleaning was destroying the building. On the surface, the problem looked simple, but when the scientists dug deeper, they came up with the real solution. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the true story of the Lincoln Memorial. Oftentimes, we look at the problems in our lives and attribute them to one surface issue or another. But to truly solve problems, you need to get to the heart of the matter. And in order to walk in the freedom and victory that God has for us, we have to dig deeper into his word to find the answers that we need. If you skim over the surface of God's word, you may think you have found a solution, but when you dig deeper into God's word, you get the truth. When you search beneath the surface, you come up with answers that hit at the heart of the matter. That's the message in our sermon today. We're going to discover how to dig deeper in God's word and find the amazing benefits available to all of us. But before we go further, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day when you've gathered us in your presence to hear and learn from your word. We commit our ways to you right now and ask that you would guide and direct us. We submit to you and we bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that will enlighten our minds, the power that will give us grace to obey, the power that will help us to go deeper in your word. We thank you, Lord, that at the end of today, your name will be glorified and our lives will be transformed. We ask this and we thank you for it in faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and join your faith with mine right now. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. It's such a blessing to be with you today as we continue our sermon series entitled Deeper. Over the last few weeks, we've been discovering how to go deeper with God, and I believe these messages will change our lives as we listen and obey God's word. So if you've happened to miss any of the sermons in our Deeper series, I want to encourage you to go to my YouTube channel and watch those sermons. And be sure to send me a message and let me know how God is using this truth to change your life. Well, today we take the next step in our Deeper journey with the message titled Deeper in God's Word. And to help us learn the truth for today, we've prepared sermon notes to guide you. You can download the sermon notes on my Facebook page and at my website. So I invite you to get the notes and the daily devotional to help you put the truth into practice. Our scripture text for today is found in James chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. These verses are on your sermon notes and on your screen, but I believe God's word has the most impact when it's in our hearts and on our lips. So let's take a moment and read these two verses out loud together. Are you ready? Let's read God's word like we believe it today. Here we go. Accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. One of the best things about the Epistle of James is how frank and direct the Apostle James is in his writing. He doesn't mince words. James always gives it to us straight. And these two verses are no exception. And as we begin to dig deeper into God's word today, we're going to discover that these verses give us three steps to go deeper in God's word. So let's break these verses down and discover how to go deeper. And here's your first step today. Accept God's word as absolute truth. Everybody say, accept. Listen to how this passage begins in James 1:21. Accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So James begins by telling us you have to accept God's word, and you have to accept it for what it is. It is the word of the living God, the absolute truth. It is the word that has the power to save your souls. But the fact is, God's words are not normal words. They're not like the word of man. That's why Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. See, God's words have power because they are spirit. The Greek word Jesus used in this verse is pneuma, and the Greek word pneuma literally means breath. In other words, the breath of God is in every word of God. God's breath that brought life to man is in every word he speaks. So understand today that God never just speaks words. There's never a word from God without the power to fulfill that word alongside it. When God speaks, you're not just getting information, you're getting power. You're getting the very breath of God. So here's what you need to pack up and take home with you today. Don't just go through God's word. Let God's word go through you. For when you go deeper in God's word, you go deeper in God himself. When his word gets inside of you, his very presence gets inside of you. And it's that presence that changes you and saves your soul. For the fact is, God's word has power because God's word has his presence in it. That's what the Bible tells us in John 1, verses 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And friends, it's obvious here this verse is talking about Jesus. See, friends, before we had the printed page of the Bible, we still had God's Word. God's Word is Jesus. And to add more impact to the words of God, Jesus came to be with us in the flesh to help us understand the words even better. He said, I'm going to come to earth and I'm going to keep speaking the words of God and I'm going to show you by my life what the words mean. Some people find it hard to understand, so Jesus came to show us what it means. He commands us to love, and then he showed us what it means to love. He came to demonstrate what he spoke. Years ago, when my oldest son, Richard, was a young man, I was teaching him how to tie a necktie. He held the tie in his hands, and I told him with my words what to do. But after trying for a few minutes, he just couldn't seem to get it right. So finally, I went and stood behind him. I took the necktie in my own hands, and as I spoke to him, I demonstrated and showed him how to tie the necktie as I talked him through it. And that's what Jesus did for us. Thank God for Jesus, the Word of God. He not only brings us God's words, he brings us himself to make those words come alive. And that's why if you want to get really close to God, you have to get close to his word. See, you can't have Jesus if you don't have the word. The two are one. If you want to abide in Christ, if you want to go deeper in Jesus, you have to abide in the word and go deeper in the word. And when you abide in God's word, you're abiding in the truth. For in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the truth, and therefore God's word is the truth. And how desperately we need the truth today more than ever. The truth that will lead us to God. The truth that will give us life. The truth that will give us peace. The deeper you go in God's word, the deeper you go in truth. The deeper you go in life. And God is calling you today to go deeper in his word so that you can go deeper in him. Sadly, today, most people are lacking the truth. Even people in church seem to lack the truth. We carry our Bibles, but we don't read them. We confess the word, but we don't live by it. We pick and choose the words we like from the Bible, but we ignore the ones we don't. But the fact is, when we ignore the truth, we end up with disaster. That's the lesson we can learn from the world's worst nuclear disaster. In 1986, Russian scientists were at work one night at the nuclear power plant in Chernobyl, Ukraine. There were two electrical engineers in the control room that night, and the best thing that could be said for what they were doing is they were experimenting with the nuclear reactor. They were performing what the Soviets later described as an unauthorized experiment. And as they conducted their unauthorized experiment, the system began to send out warning signals. But the engineers decided to ignore the warning, so they shut down the computer-driven alarm systems. In fact, the engineers had to manually override 6 separate computer-driven alarm systems. One by one, the computers would come up and say, "Stop! Dangerous! Warning! Go no further!" And one by one, rather than shutting down the experiment, the scientists shut off the alarms and kept going. The whole world now knows the results. Ignoring the warnings caused a nuclear fallout that was recorded all around the world. The nuclear plant melted down, and Chernobyl became the largest industrial accident ever to occur in the world. The city of Chernobyl, which formerly had 55,000 people, is now ruined and abandoned. And that's exactly how it is for us when we disregard and ignore the instructions of God's word. His word is truth, and the instructions and warnings in Scripture are just as clear. When we ignore them, it always leads to destruction. That's why we need to accept God's word as the absolute truth for our lives. When Jesus said that God's word is truth, he meant it is pure, it is perfect, it is infallible. He meant that it could always be trusted, it should never be doubted, and that we can follow it completely. In fact, in Psalm 12:6, the Bible tells us, "The words of the Lord are perfect. They are like silver made pure in a clay furnace. They are like gold made pure 7 times over." God's word is always true because it was given to us by the God who cannot lie. For Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? No, he is the final authority on everything in this life. When you build on his word, you're building on a rock that cannot be moved. You're building on a foundation that cannot be shaken. No matter what anyone else says, when you have God's word, you have the final authority. And because God's word is his final authority, it's powerful. It is strong and unmovable. It is solid and sure. It is a mighty fortress that has power. In fact, I believe God's word is the most powerful word in the world. Think for a moment about how strong that word is. When there was nothing at all in the world, God spoke his word and everything we see came into existence. It's his word that brought light. It's his word that brought the mountains out of the ground. It's his word that made the sea roar. It's his word that set the sun in its place and the stars in the heavens. It's his word that gave the lion life and made it roar. Psalm 33, 6 and 7 says, "The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. And when the sea wanted to cover the earth, God's word said, 'That's enough,' and the sea obeyed. When the sun wanted to come too close, it's God's word that kept it in its place. God's word holds the whole universe in place. It is true. It is powerful. And God's word can be trusted at all times. But you don't have to just accept that fact today because God said it. You don't have to just accept the Bible because I said it. There are, in fact, so many other facts and evidences that support the truth of God's word. You can trust the Bible, first of all, because it is historically confirmed. In fact, if you judge the Bible against the strictest standards of history, you'll discover that the Bible has more credible historical confirmation than any other ancient historical writings. The Bible isn't just doctrinally correct. It's not just theologically correct. It's not just accurate regarding morals and regarding ethics. It's true history. Real people in real places and real time are recorded correctly. It is true historically. In fact, whenever there's been a dispute between the Bible and archaeology, the Bible is eventually always proven accurate. For instance, for a long time, historians did not believe in the Hittite Empire. Now, the Old Testament talks about the Hittites, but for centuries, there was no archaeological evidence that the Hittites existed. So for centuries, historians said the Bible made up the Hittites. But then in 1906, a professor by the name of Hugo Winkler discovered 10,000 clay tablets that confirmed the existence of the Hittite Empire. Now, everyone believes the Hittite Empire existed. Archaeology matches the accounts in God's word. That's why Psalm 119:86 says, "All your commands can be trusted." The Bible is historically accurate, but that's not all. Another reason you can trust the Bible is because it is prophetically accurate. You see, the Bible is filled with thousands of prophecies that have already been fulfilled. Thousands of times the Bible predicted something specific would happen, and thousands of times that exact event took place. Take, for example, all the prophecies about Jesus. There are over 300 prophecies in the Bible about Jesus the Messiah, beginning more than 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And over 1,000-year period, 300 prophecies told us things like where he would be born and when he would be born and how he would be born, how he would die, the manner he would die, what he would die from. Over 300 prophecies, and each and every one of them came true and has been historically proven. What are the odds of someone making 300 predictions about you and every one of them coming true? How likely is it that 1,000 years before you were born, different men in different places would prophesy 300 times accurately about your life? But that's what we find in the Word of God. 1,000 years before Jesus came and died on the cross, King David wrote in Psalm 22 and described how Jesus would die by crucifixion. 1,000 years before the Romans existed as a nation, David describes what death by crucifixion was like. How could he do that? Only God could have told him. That's why Hebrews 6:18 says it is impossible for God to lie. The Bible is historically accurate. It is prophetically accurate. But that's not all. The Bible is scientifically accurate. Now, I know that many people today disagree with that. There's so much deception about science and the Bible, and a lot of people have been deceived. They think the Bible and science contradict one another. I could preach a whole message just on this topic alone, but let me just make it clear today that science is constantly changing, but God's word never changes. What we know as scientific fact is always evolving, but God's word never evolves. And every time scientists have said that the Bible was wrong, it has turned out later that the Bible was right and their version of science was wrong. For example, for thousands of years, everyone believed the earth was flat. All the great minds, all the great scientists and educators all taught that the earth is flat. But then great scientists and astronomers and explorers like Copernicus and Galileo and Columbus came along and discovered that the world is not flat, it's round. But God told us the earth was round before any scientist discovered it to be so. In Isaiah 40, verse 22, the Bible says, God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. So long before anybody knew it, long before anyone believed it, God said it and it was true. Now all of science confirms what God said is true. The earth is round. At the end of the day, the Bible always proves right. Science may come out with one claim or the other, but in the end, science evolves and science adds information and science changes its mind. In 1861, there was a very famous book that came out called 51 Incontrovertible Proofs that the Bible is Scientifically Inaccurate. In other words, it was a famous book written with 51 proofs that scientists in that day said proved the Bible was wrong. But the only problem is today, 159 years later, you can't find one single scientist on the whole planet who would agree with any of those 51 incontrovertible facts. They've all been disproven by science. For truth doesn't change, science changes. We've seen that with the recent coronavirus pandemic. Some of the information scientists gave the world in March has now been retracted. Some experts who said one thing at the beginning of the pandemic are now telling us different information today because science changes, but God's truth never changes. That's why Psalm 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does." I could go on and on, for the Bible is always scientifically accurate. It is always ahead of science. That's why if it's in the Bible, I believe it and accept it as truth. It has endured and will always endure. It's not a normal book. It's not just a historical writing or account. It is the breath of God. It's alive. It has power. It can do great things, and it will set you free. For Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." God's word is alive and it penetrates you. Apostle Paul says at the end of verse 12, the word of God gets inside of you because it's alive and powerful and active. It transforms you. The word of God is not just facts and information on a page. It exposes the thoughts and attitudes of men. It's sent by God to get in your heart, not designed for your ears. It's designed for your heart. And that brings us to our second step, to go deeper in God's word. You've got to assimilate God's word in your heart. Everybody say, assimilate. Assimilate means to absorb, to take it in and incorporate it as your own. And that's what our scripture text for today tells us. Listen again to James 1:21. Accept, everybody say accept, accept the word of God has planted in your hearts. Everybody say hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. And the power to save your soul only comes when the word of God is planted in your heart. You've got to assimilate the word you've accepted. That's why there's a difference between going through the Bible and letting the Bible go through you. A lot of people read the Bible, but they don't let the Bible read them. A lot of people work through the Bible, but we need to let the Bible work through us. We need to go deeper. A man may go to theological seminary and learn all the information there is to learn about the Bible. He may memorize scripture, but it's one thing to accept the word and another to assimilate and absorb the word. You have to do both. Even Satan knows the Bible. When he came to tempt Jesus, the scriptures tell us that Satan quoted Bible verses to Jesus Christ. That's pretty bold, quoting the word of God to the word of God himself. But the word in Satan's mouth doesn't have any impact because it's not in his heart. And that's why you have to get the Bible inside your heart. It does no good to have the Bible in your pocket. It does no good to keep a Bible under your pillow when you sleep at night if you never get the word inside of you. It does no good to have a beautiful leather-bound Bible on the table in your parlor if you don't open it, don't read it, and don't assimilated. If you have the word and accept it as truth, but don't use it, it won't help you. That's the lesson we can learn from a story from the American War for Independence from England. The year was 1776, and the American War for Independence from England was fully underway. The British colonial masters greatly outnumbered the freedom fighters, and the war was going badly for the Americans. Desperate for a victory, the commander of American troops planned a daring surprise attack against a British position across the Delaware River. Under the cover of night, General George Washington led the Americans across the river and prepared to attack. But unknown to General Washington, there was a traitor in their midst, a spy, who rushed ahead of the troops to warn the British forces. When he reached the British camp, the spy went directly to Colonel Johann Rahl to warn him of the imminent American attack. But when the spy tried to see Colonel Rahl, he was told that Rahl had left orders not to be disturbed. It seemed that the colonel was engaged in an intense game of playing cards, and unaware of any danger, he refused to entertain any visitor. When the spy was blocked from seeing the British commander, he wrote a note on paper warning of the American attack. He gave the note to a soldier and said, "Give this to Colonel Rahl." The soldier gave it to Colonel Rahl, but Rahl was too enthralled with playing cards to read the note, so he slipped the note inside his coat pocket and carried on with his game. Early the next morning, the American army attacked and overwhelmed the unprepared British troops. The British surrendered, but Colonel Rahl was shot and killed in battle. When they recovered his body, they discovered the unread note warning of the American attack inside his coat pocket. Had Colonel Rahl simply taken time to read the words written on the note, he and his troops would have been prepared for the attack. It's likely the outcome of the battle, and perhaps even the entire war, would have turned out differently. The fact is, Rahl had all he needed to win the battle and keep himself alive. But failure to read and heed the message sent to him resulted in his death and defeat. And there's a powerful lesson for all of us in the true story of Colonel Rahl and the unread warning. Just like Rahl, we've all received a written message that contains the words that will bring us deliverance and safety. For you see, God has sent us his word written in the Bible to give us warning from danger and a chance for escape. In God's word, we have life and peace, power, comfort, wisdom, and freedom. And every good gift God wants to give to us. Yet how often do we become distracted with other things, unimportant things, and ignore the written words of God? How often do we shove our Bibles to the side and fail to read and heed God's word? That's why God is calling you to go deeper in his word. We have to accept it. We have to assimilate it. We have to meditate on it and absorb it and incorporate it into our hearts. That's why Joshua 1, 7 and 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So hear the word of the Lord to you today. If you will assimilate God's word into your heart, if you'll meditate on it day and night, you are guaranteed prosperity and success. For when you assimilate God's word and absorb it in your soul, it produces life. This is what happened to Mary when she conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to her experience in Luke 1, 34 to 38. The angel Gabriel has just told Mary that she would conceive and bear a son, the Messiah. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. When the word of God came to Mary, she activated it by faith when she agreed and accepted it. She absorbed it into her heart. She cried, yes, I accept this as God's will and his word. I accept it as truth. I assimilate it. I absorb it. I receive it. I agree with it. And at that moment, she conceived the Son of God. Life came into her when she assimilated God's word. And the same thing will happen to you. When you agree with God's word, you take it inside your soul as a seed that will bring forth life. The living, active, powerful word of God is a seed that will take root in your heart and bring forth life. It will bring forth liberty. It will bring forth love. It will bring forth every good gift God has for you. Inside God's word, there is life. Inside his word, there is peace. Inside his word, there is hope for every heart. So hear the word of the Lord for you today. There is freedom for you in the Bible. For in John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is guidance for you in the Bible. For Psalm 119, 105 tells us, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. There is power over sin for you in the Bible. For Psalms 119, 11 teaches us, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There is healing for you in the Bible. For Psalm 107, 20 says, he sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. There is strength to meet every challenge for you in the Bible. For Psalm 119, 28 says, strengthen me according to your word. And I speak prophetically to you today, everyone within the sound of my voice, that when you receive God's word, when you accept God's word, when you assimilate God's word, it will produce everything you need. There is a promise for every provision inside the Bible. You simply need to dig deeper. Accept it. Assimilate it. And that brings us to our third and final truth today. You have to apply God's word to your actions. Everybody say, apply. See, first you accept God's word as absolute truth. Then you have to assimilate God's word into your heart. And then James concludes our text with these words in verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. In other words, you have to apply God's word to your actions. Every step you take, every decision you make must be guided by the word of God. Right now, God is calling you deeper in him by going deeper in his word. He is the word. You can't go deeper in Christ without going deeper in his word. You don't need a prophecy. You don't need a miracle. You simply need to go deeper in his word and receive the revelation of his presence. It's not just listening to the Bible. It's absorbing and applying the Bible to your life. But you see, God's word isn't just an optional activity for Christians. It's an essential, foundational, life-transforming part of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus says to you today from Matthew 7, 24. The words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. They're not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Build your life on God's word. Apply it to every decision, every action, every detail of your life. Let every step you take be directed by the word of God. That's the lesson we can learn from the amazing true story of an athlete named Henry Wanyoike from Kenya. Henry is one of the fastest runners in the world. He competes in a wide variety of men's races. In fact, he's one of the most versatile runners on earth. He's won gold or silver medals in the marathon, the half marathon, the 10-kilometer road race, and the 10,000, 5,000, and 1,500 meters races. But the most amazing thing of all is that Henry Wanyoike has done all of this as a blind man. That's right. Henry Wanyoike is completely blind. Now, how in the world could Henry run a race when he's blind? And how could he win the gold medal in world competitions as a runner when he can't even see the track to run on? Yet that's exactly what Henry has done. Though legally blind, his secret to success is that he has a guide named Joseph Kibunja. Henry is connected to Joseph by a tether on his wrist, and Joseph uses the tether to subtly indicate to Henry when to turn, when to accelerate, or to avoid an obstacle on the track or on the road. Since Henry can't see where to go, Joseph tells him, "Run straight! Move left!" When Henry needs to know the terrain, Joseph tells him, "There's a hill coming up. Watch out for that bump ahead." When Henry needs to know his progress in a race, Joseph will tell him, "We're halfway there. You're almost to the finish line. Keep going. Keep pressing. Keep running. You're going to win." And so Henry Wanyoike, a blind man, runs and wins races. He still has to train himself. He still has to work hard. He still has to endure the hardships of the race. But it's all possible because of his guide running alongside him every step of the race. I believe there's a lesson for all of us in the inspiring story of Henry Wanyoike. For you see, in many ways, we're all just like Henry. We're all running a race, the race of life. And sometimes we don't know the best path to follow. We're limited by our lack of sight. Yet we have a guide. We have a partner who never leaves our side. Through his word, he speaks to us and encourages us every moment. Through his word, he warns us of danger and inspires us to press on. And best of all, he himself has passed through this path. He's experienced the same race himself, and he knows everything that lies ahead. He sees all the details of the path you're on, and he knows how to guide you. And his name is Jesus. And if you'll listen and follow his word, if you'll apply it to your life, every step, every decision, you will win the race. You will receive your reward. For Henry Wanyoike, the most important question he had to ask as he runs his races is this: what does my guide say I should do? And for us, the most important question we have to ask as we journey through life is this: what does the Bible say I should do? But you see, the good news for all of us is that we have the reliable, infallible, accurate Word of God available to us to lead us through every facet of life. If you'll cling to it and rely on it, if you'll accept it as the truth and absorb it in your life, and if you will apply it to your every decision, you will never be led astray. For the truth is, your intentions don't determine your destination. The voice you follow determines your destination. And when you follow Jesus and obey his word, you're guaranteed success. Even though there will be difficulties, and even though there will be sacrifices, when you obey God's word, you will always get the right results. You'll endure the storms of life. You'll have Jesus with you when you go deeper in God's word. That's what Jesus himself promised us in John 14, 21 and 23. listen to his word to you today. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. When you go deeper in God's word, you accept it as truth. When you go deeper in God's word, you assimilate it in your heart. When you go deeper in God's word, you apply it in your life. And when you accept and obey God's word, it is proof of your love for him. The deeper you go in his word, the deeper your love for God is. And in return, God will love you and reveal himself to you. He will make his home in you and abide in you. Deeper in God's word means deeper in his love, deeper in his presence, deeper in God. Will you go deeper? Almighty and everlasting Father, I pray today your Spirit will come and convict us. Convict us of our careless attitude towards your word. Convict us of how we've neglected and ignored it. Forgive us, O Lord, and move in our hearts today. Awaken us to understand we can't get close to you if we're not close to your word. For you and your word are one. It's your very breath. So, Lord, as we accept and obey your word, come and live with us. Come and reveal your very nature to us. Come and take us deeper. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Legon. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience.